This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, I think it's been done before, right? I mean, I think there's a number of teams that did that last year. The Panthers come to mind when they went out in free agency and got a couple top guards and really changed the dynamic of their offense. And you saw them clicking there in the second half of the season once they started to really gel. So there's no question that you can change the dynamic of a room just like that. That particular room, it does take a little bit of time for five guys to come together, especially if you have to deal with the attrition and the injuries.
We do have a major trade for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chicago Bears. Once again, the Bears load up on the offensive line. Earlier this week, it was Jonah Jackson. This time, a big one. Sources say all-pro guard Joe Tooney, one of the best in the NFL, of course, played tackle this year in a pinch, but is a big-time guard, is expected to be traded to the Chicago Bears.
These are exciting times for your Chicago Bears because they are making moves to improve their offensive line. How good a move is this? Well, Speaks, and I think this is pretty strong, them getting Joe Tooney, but why not ask an expert about this? And that's what Brandon Thorne does.
He does a great job breaking down offensive linemen and defensive linemen for the Bleacher Report, for EstablishTheRun.com, and other outlets.
So, Brandon, thanks so much for joining us here on the Score on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. I saw some of your tweets. I feel like you were as excited about this move as Bears fans were. What makes you think that Joe Tooney can be a fit for what Ben Johnson and the Bears want to do?
Yeah, I just think what he's bringing is stability and consistency, I think, more than anything. And that's hard to find in the NFL, but especially in the offensive line world. That's, you know, one of the most coveted things that you could find. And it doesn't get much better than that in terms of Tooney, you know, in terms of minimal games missed, his durability over the course of his career. He's only missed, I think, two or three games, you know, six Super Bowl appearances, I think, four rings. Proven versatility at multiple positions. So just a dependable, reliable guy who wins with technique, smarts, leverage. So I think he's going to change the entire culture of the offensive line room and really, you know, just gives the team a really good leader as well. So even though he's a little bit older, I feel like, you know, this is kind of a home run addition that, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're going to find anybody that could say much negative stuff about Joe Tooney.
Yeah, we'll take the positive. We're if that's what the truth is. But tell us more about how you kind of redefine the room, because that's clearly what needs to happen here. And, like, I don't know if Joe Tooney is an ass kicker, tone setter with an edge in that way, but what does he bring and how does that manifest to kind of redefine the room, to quote you back?
Yeah, he's not the most physically imposing guy, you know, in the mold of somebody like a Trey Smith, who, you know, is his counterpart in KC, but he's a more technically sound player who loses less, honestly, especially in pass protection than Trey Smith. It's just very difficult to beat Tooney. The primary way that he's lost over the course of his career is against certain body types, bigger, hulking type of three techniques who utilize power. But even then, I mean, he's gotten to the point now where he's mastered the art of dying slowly in his anchor. He's really good with leverage, resetting his hands, refitting on blocks, and staying in front of guys long enough. So even then, you know, you're going to get some maybe slow losses here and there, but it's just very difficult to beat Joe Tooney clean in pass protection. So that's the difference between him and somebody like Trey Smith. And then he's an excellent run blocker. Maybe not going to put a lot of guys in the ground, but he's going to execute assignments at a very high level. And he's just very well-rounded, and he's very hard to poke holes in his game. He's an extremely polished player.
You seem like the type of person that can help answer one of the things that's been swimming around in my head, Brandon. And that's, I look at Kansas City and I go, there's Trey Smith, he's a stud. There's Creed Humphreys, he's a stud. There's Joe Tooney, he's a stud. Why did they struggle to run this past season, knowing that guard to guard, they were really, really strong? And then, of course, you have to put Tooney out at tackle. But what was holding their run game back?
I think you kind of touched on it a little bit there when, you know, I think the running game, I think Pacheco got hurt, you know, throughout the year. He was in and out a little bit of the lineup, so he got dinged up there. I just don't think that they've really invested into that position, so that's partly the problem there. I think they signed Kareem Hunt off the street, basically, and he was kind of the guy that got, you know, the bulk of their carries. So that's part of it, but when the interior is healthy and Joe Tooney was at guard, I think they were definitely doing their job. I think they've kind of had a tackle problem, honestly, for several years. I mean, aside from Mitchell Schwartz when he was there, you know, being named all pro teams and things like that, a right tackle. Aside from him, they just haven't had like a really high end tackle really throughout Patrick Mahomes' time as a starter. And I think that's part of the issues that they face. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the interior three, I think they had the best interior trio in the NFL for the last several years. So I don't really think it's them. I think it's just things outside of their control, you know, whether that's roster or they're really personnel, I think.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Good stuff from Brandon Thorne here as we talk offensive line. All right, trying to figure this out. Jonah Jackson's here, a little bit more of a physical tone setter from what I've heard. Tell us about him, and then what do you think they do? Both guys are, you know, left guard is the first position. I wonder who's going to move where. I don't even know if Jonah Jackson could play center, if that's something you want to even think about. What do you think of Jonah and the combo?
Yeah, so, I mean, I just would assume that Joe Tooney, you know, the four-time Super Bowl champ, All-Pro, is going to get his position, you know, and then Jackson will have to move. He's played right guard here and there throughout his career, although he was primarily a left guard. So I would assume that's the way it's going to go. Jackson is just going to have to get comfortable on the right side, which, you know, early enough in the offseason, that shouldn't be too much of a problem, considering all the time he's going to have to do that. And then just in terms of Jackson as a player, I think overall, when you're looking back over the course of his career, he was trending, if not already there, in terms of being like a top five left guard in the league, especially when you look at 2021 into 2022. Those two seasons, he was very, very good. 2023, he did get dinged up a little bit, took a little bit of a step back, but still was a good player. And then last year, obviously, got hurt. And I think the way that it was kind of handled there was just kind of odd. I think they, signed him to be a left guard, but then I believe that they attempted to put their left guard, Steve Avila, at center, and that didn't go well. So then they tried to put Jackson at center, and then he got hurt. I don't see why or how playing center would make a lot of sense with him, considering he's never done it, at least in the NFL. And I don't think he did at Ohio State. So to me, this is clearly a guy who's going to play right guard, and the upside here is very real. I think considering he's young enough to still reach that, there's still a runway here to get there. And then just in terms of physical traits and tools, he's very talented. Size, power, athletic ability. He could be a weapon in the run game, and the familiarity here is obviously is key. You know, being, you know, he was unlocked and at his best playing for Ben Johnson in that offense. So this seems like a smart bet to make. The biggest question to me is injuries and just kind of his injury history. But again, you know, I think he's young enough to where you make this bet, especially, you know, if it's, you could get out of it, you know, after a year or so in terms of contract.
Yeah, both of them they could get out of after a year if they really wanted to, though maybe with Joe Tooney we'll see an extension. We're talking to Brandon Thorne about the offensive line. All right, so what do you do at center then? Do you dare ask a rookie to be the starter for a second-year quarterback in Caleb Williams who's learning a brand-new system under Ben Johnson? Is it more palatable because you've got these two OGs, Jackson and Tooney, on either side of a rookie center?
Yes, I believe so. I think that's key. You know, having two experienced guards like that, especially a guy like Tooney. And I think in this class, there's not a lot of options like there was the prior year, which I think was an excellent center class. This center class is a little more thin. However, there are a couple options that definitely, I think, would be worthy of definitely like a second round pick, if not, you know, like later sort of first round pick on one of them. And that's Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. I think he's probably going to be my top center in the class in terms of grade. You know, relatively small school guy, but, you know, really good on film, good physical tools, went to the Senior Bowl, was the best player there. And, you know, so he's just checking boxes, had an excellent combine. I just expect him to be a day one starter at center, potentially guard for another team, but I think he could definitely step in right away and be a good player at center. So he's kind of the prize of the draft class in terms of centers. And then there's another guy from Georgia named Jared Wilson, who I think more in like that maybe third round range or so, second or third, who could potentially become a starter. So I think you have a couple options there, and there's some later round guys if you want to have like a competition that I think are intriguing as well. But Zabel to me would be the guy who would really solidify that interior.
Brandon, in your experience, how can offensive coordinators or play callers, in this case with Ben Johnson, make an offensive line better?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think you typically when you see offensive line friendly schemes, there's a variety of different ways that you can make life easier on an offensive lineman. I think typically you're shooting for a balanced, if not run first approach. So you minimize pass protection reps and basically exposures on an island, which is the most difficult part of playing the position. So the less you can ask guys to do that, the better. Now, in order to do that, you have to have an efficient, effective running game. So I think kind of gearing things towards that is, you know, step one, just in terms of that run pass split. And then how you run the ball, you know, kind of the bells and whistles, the eye candy, you know, that you utilize, which Ben Johnson is kind of, you know, on the same tier of like a McVay and Shanahan in that regard in terms of how he dresses things up, which just creates advantageous angles for the offensive line. By creating hesitation in the defense and different things like that. And he's very good at doing that, being multiple. So you're not overly reliant or predictable on any one scheme, zone, gap, you know, whatever sort of concepts you run. Detroit ran everything. And I would expect that to be the case here. So you're unpredictable. You know, you're favoring the run. You're utilizing play action. So again, minimizing true drop back pass. And I think if you do those things and you find creative ways to do it, then the offensive line is going to be in a good position to succeed. And then, of course, it helps when you have continuity and things like that. But, yeah, so that's kind of what I've seen from Ben Johnson and all, you know, all the coaches that have typically gotten the most out of their offensive line.
Interesting. Yeah, make multiple things look the same and make the same things look multiple different ways. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, right? Make many of the same things look different, many different things look the same. I think that's what it is that he tries to do.
That's one way of doing it. That's kind of like the Sean McVay, you know, angle. That's what he's a master at and has been, you know, throughout his time calling plays, designing plays, things like that. But yeah, making it look the same is great, and that's one way to do it. But then also just You know, like I said, like the eye candy approach, you know, creative uses of motion, just creating a lot of distractions for the defense to account for before the snap creates that hesitation. And that, I think, is a big piece of the running game. And then also RPOs, play action, creates that in the passing game. So doing both, I think, is key. You know, for success.
I wonder if in the offensive line community, when I haven't been on those text threads in multiple years, and it bothers me, frankly, but we'll get back to that, Lawrence.
You need to go down to Mastermind and see what's going on.
I think I do. I really think I do. But, like, when you guys talk about what the Lions did and just how great things were, like, are there characteristics in offensive linemen in Detroit that we should have been thinking about in terms of who the acquisitions are? Like, maybe these guys fit. Like, is there a certain kind of lineman that Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell like to your sensibilities?
I would say size, play strength, power. You know, they favor bigger guys typically. Just looking at the roster last year, I mean, Penei Sewell, Taylor Decker, these are bigger guys. Frank Ragnow is a bigger center. You know, they signed Kevin Zeiler for a year, but he's, you know, 330 or so pound guard. So typically that seems to be what they favored. You know, so I think that makes sense in terms of their multiple run scheme, kind of allows you to do, to have those gap sort of runs on the menu, so to speak. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. Really, I mean, they just kind of nailed their evaluations in terms of adding, you know, Penei Sewell. You know, Frank Ragnow's been there for a while, but, you know, rewarding him with contract and things like that. And I think, you know, again, more than anything, like, just the situation that that offensive line was put in, honestly, just it really helped them. Because, I mean, obviously Sewell and Ragnow are kind of blue chip elite level players. But apart from them, you have solid to good players there with two studs. And if you're putting them in really good positions consistently, it makes the whole thing better. So I think it's kind of a, I don't want to get too far off your question, but yeah, I think that probably answers it.
Brandon, I don't know if there's a right answer to this, and you, whether you're at the summit or you're talking with coaches and players about this, I go back and forth on what bothers a quarterback more, pressure from the edge or pressure up the middle. From the people that you talk to, from the tape that you've broken down, is there any consensus on this, especially considering how the quarterback position itself has changed and there are a lot more mobile guys out there?
Yeah, I think by and large, it's interior pressure just because that happens faster. So it's more disruptive. If you have a guy, you know, piercing like the A gaps or the B gaps, as opposed to outside the tackles. It's in your face. It's right there. It causes you to move off your read, to move off your spot quicker as a quarterback. And it's just more difficult to deal with. So yeah, I would definitely say interior pressure is more difficult to deal with for most guys. And I think that's been reflected in just how guards have been compensated more and more. And how teams have prioritized that. And then we've seen just it really be a real difference maker for certain offenses too. I mean, the Chiefs obviously have been led by the interior first. The Rams are another team where their interior is really stout. The Bills, you know, that was the big reason why they drafted Osiris Torrance, because they wanted to solidify the middle of the pocket and make it more firm, which it did that. So, yeah, I think that's a huge part of, you know, keeping the quarterback comfortable back there. And if I had to pick one of the two, I think it's just a little bit more, it's a little bit more difficult to do in some ways, but I think that is kind of how you have to build it inside out.
Brandon Thorne breaks down offensive linemen and defensive linemen for EstablishTheRun.com, for the Bleacher Report. If I told you that there was a center on a college intramural flag football team, a four-year starter who was also the play caller, you know, offensive play designer, de facto coach on the field, and he was the starting center, would you think that person has the right and the authority to talk about center play and offensive line play in the NFL from his seat as a talk show host? How would you feel about that, sir?
Well, you kind of lost me on flag football.
Got to get him down to the summit, Brandon. That's what we got. We got to get him down there.
We used to call it flackle. There was a lot of, like, you'd hold people up, there was hitting. There's a lot of hitting.
You're fighting a losing battle right now, and I'm not sure why.
Let the man answer, Lawrence. Let him answer.
Yeah. I'll just say I think it probably gives you a leg up on the average citizen, let's say that.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's about as far as I could go.
Yeah, I'll run with that. That's plenty. That's plenty right there.
Brandon, this was delightful. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
All right, thanks, man.
Was that two references inside that interview to the Sequoias?
The first was just setting it up. And I don't think I even said the Mighty Sequoias outright. You know, thank you for bringing it up. The Mighty Sequoias was the team. We were very good over the course of 4 years. But the first reference was just to set it up, Lawrence. You stick with me. You're just a regular citizen, as Brandon referred to you.
I mean,
here we go.
I was an actual intramural quarterback, if that's what we're going to do.
Here we go.
So
it's bound to happen.
What
now.
A boomer called Danny a NARP?
A NARP, a non-athletic NARP.
Regular person.
Yeah, that's great. I can't call Lawrence that.
No, you cannot.
Lawrence has legit athletic bona fides.
Yeah, I've seen Lawrence lay out.
Yeah. You've seen him lay out for what?
I still have video of Lawrence laying out 5 feet to his left for a ball at second base.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and making the throw to first.
Shane, that's softball. I'm talking about a real sport, intramural flag football.
Oh, where you don't have to block anyone?
How dare you? I'm telling you, I hit people.
They count in front of you, and then they can rush whenever they want.
Lawrence Holmes, put a star on it!
That was it. That's the call from Gio.
That's the play right there?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's a pretty good play.
Okay.
I hate that, dude. That's a NARPian take, so you know.
And NARPian?
Yes, yeah, non-athletic regular person.
That's right.
And that play was made by a 48-year-old me.
48-year-old Lawrence. Well?
Now imagine 17-year-old me.
No, I'm good. That guy probably got in a lot of scraps.
Yes, he did. He was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, I bet he was.
More fun than this guy, I'll tell you that.
I don't think that's true.
It's way more fun.
Was he a young Mr. Validation? I'm picturing a young Mr. Validation.
He didn't care about your validation.
He didn't need it.
Not one bit did he care about it. we need to take a break, but let's talk with you. We haven't had this chance. This is exciting.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk with Bears fans about this.
I'm curious how they feel, because it's like, all right, great, they got two guards. But we're all learning together. You're learning.
Here's Spiegs, real talk. Yeah. This is what's exciting about this for me as a talk show host. I love that we're in this place now. I love, and we've both been here long enough.
Yeah, man.
Where we're all still learning. None of us are at the level that someone like Brandon or Patrick Manley or Olin or Big Cat are at when it comes to talking about offensive line play.
But we can hang. We know how important it is now.
But now we don't ignore it. And I think fans have gotten smarter, too. And they're like, look, there needs to be an upgrade here. So the fact that people look at the two trades and go, oh, my God, the Bears just traded for a couple of ass-kicking guards. And they're excited about it because they understand what that means for the rest of the offense. These are great times that we are living in, bros. So we should talk with Bears fans about this.
I like it.
312-644-6767. What do you think of what the Bears have done over the last couple of days? We're going to take your phone calls, your texts. If you're inside the mob on Twitch, we want to hear from you. That's next here on The Score.
These are great days we're living, bros.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beagle and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, he'd always have it on.
Afternoons on the Score.
The Don, as I call him. Poles, Chef Poles.
Well, let's be careful. The last time we gave Poles a nickname, things went really badly. Let's all just kind of quietly acknowledge with a head nod to each other. Things are going well for Ryan Poles right now.
Because Ben Johnson is driving the bus. This is now, a texter hops in right away, and it's Spiegel and Holmes here on the Score, that they are finally doing what we expected Ryan Poles to do, because Ben Johnson is imposing his will on the franchise. Ben Johnson is going to save Ryan Poles' job. Yeah, didn't you think... We spent a lot of time talking about Ryan Poles, the former offensive lineman coming from Kansas City, where they had just drafted Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. And then in the offseason last year, in advance of Caleb Williams, he went out and he got wide receiver 2 and drafted wide receiver 3. And that's what the focus was. And then let a guy named Shane Waldron impose his offensive will, which was not about the trenches and not about the run game. So that was, it was very disappointing in retrospect, especially, of course, because of how it all worked out.
Especially because wide receiver 2, you're hoping eventually is wide receiver 1. From where he got drafted, that's what you're hoping.
He's supposed to be wide receiver 1 if he's drafted up there. Absolutely. And maybe he still can be.
I don't think that there was anything inside of his tape this year that says he can't be. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't great. He wasn't doing what Malik Nabers was doing. But I don't think there's any... Like, I'm definitely not out on Rome. Like, that would be silly.
But here we are. What Ben wants to do and focus on is what Ryan Poles needs to do and focus on. So it's dovetailing nicely together.
Yeah, it's nice. And it's nice to see that fans are excited about it, that they want to talk about it, that we have advanced in a way as a sports culture where we don't just say that we care about the guys in the trenches. We're actually doing some of the work and studying up and being excited. It's a weird place to be when you're talking about guard excitement on the Score, but damn it, why not? 312-644-6767 is the number. Vinny is on the north side. Hey, Vinny, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, boys, first time, long time. You know, I'm excited about this Tooney move. It's a great move, but this job ain't done, man. The last 5 years, our centers have left gaps way more wide open than the Kennedy Express lanes, man. Poles has a lot more work to do. The job's not done. We can get excited, but we got to take a chill pill and relax.
I don't think you need to – it's The league year hasn't even started yet.
And when's the last time the Kennedy was wide open?
Seriously.
I mean, just the other night, they dropped a steel beam on there and shut the thing down.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, man.
I was at the doctor today, and they would not prescribe me any chill pills. I was, like, very disappointed. Seriously. I'm like, can I just, I take them as needed, just every once in a while, a chill pill?
You gotta try my doctor. He's in the alley behind my apartment.
Shane, that's not a doctor.
Someone asked for a doctor?
There he is. Right there he is.
Dr. NBA.
Yep, but that only helps me with NBA-related stress. Yeah.
He prescribed the Bulls-Cavs game last night.
And Cialis for some reason.
The Bulls-Cavs game was really interesting until about 5 minutes left in it. Because wasn't it like 107-107? And then the Cavs were like,
Yeah, no.
We're going to blow you out by 20 in these last 5 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our Bulls coverage for today.
I had a thought on the Bulls thing, but I'll do it tomorrow.
You don't. Let's go up to Wisconsin.
I do. How dare you, sir?
You don't. Hey, Fred, you're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys.
You got it.
You know, these off seasons are great, great entertainment. Last year was fun. My boys went to the draft in Detroit. This year, they've talked me into going to Green Bay with them.
Yeah.
But when the rubber hits the road, man, you want to tear your hair out. But I'll tell you what, Dick Duran was a customer of mine back in the early twos, and he and Gail and I used to sit there and go, it's all line play. And to his memory, he was right on, and I'm glad to see him making moves. Thanks for taking the call.
What was your business that Dick Duran would frequent as a customer?
His daughter worked with my wife as a receptionist in a car dealership in the North Shore, and I was a salesman there, and he was my customer. And I sold him and Gail a couple of cars and used to love hanging out with Gail. Boy, she knew more about the Packers than anybody I ever talked to.
Dick Duran's wife?
Yeah, she was the best.
Wait, she's a Packers fan? Man, that ain't right.
No, I'm not a Packers fan. I was always a Bears fan. I'm from Highland Park, man.
No, but she was. She was. I'm disappointed. That's okay.
Well, she grew up with those guys, and, you know, she went all the way back to, you know, to like almost the Don Majkowski days, but all the coaches that were up there.
Dick, I mean, Duran.
She was cued in. She was a great, great lady, and Dick was a really great guy. He came in the dealership one day, the first week his daughter was working there, went around with her,
all
introduced
right,
himself to everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Fred.
It's not my show. But I'm on that.
I'm okay with a nice eulogy of Dick Duran.
It was lovely. Great. And who knows where that story was going. Shane?
I didn't put him on hold.
No, you got angry at it, though, yeah.
It's always better than the coach or the player is a jerk when I met him at the car dealership.
It's nice, yeah.
Right? Like, and
let's say how the story was going to go. So then Dick came over and he asked if he could go for a test drive. And I said, why don't you drive? And he said, no, my wife will drive because it's not my car, but I'm
in that car
is what he was going to say.
I just don't want a Bears coach wife taking the precedent over Jane Wanstead when she literally exists.
She's the best.
She's the best one.
Best coach's wife?
She's the best Bears coach's wife. Hmm. Not even close.
Is Ditka's wife still with us? I forget.
I don't care.
I would probably have to stand up for Mrs. Lovey, but
I never met Mrs. Lovey.
I did, but back in those days, I was like Dennis the Menace to them. So
you were. She came in with a tray of brownies. You tried to get one, and she said, Lawrence.
She would see me coming, and like the side eyes that I would get.
Yeah.
She was a very nice lady, though, I thought.
You and Lovey would get along famously right now, though. You guys would be beard bros. You guys would be beard bros. I got to say, I'm really enjoying the beard on Lawrence Holmes.
Thanks.
I'm enjoying this look. What did somebody call you the other night?
Someone thought I was Jordan Peele. but that happens a lot.
Did they ask to take a picture with Lawrence?
No. No.
I thought they did.
But that was because of other...
Oh, because you're famous.
No, it wasn't because I was famous. It's because there was a connection.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody asked to take your picture because they thought you were Jordan Peele. Hey, Jordan, come over here.
No. He introduced himself, but that's like this is the third time the Jordan Peele thing happened.
Man,
when I was in Boulder and I'm just in like just some random cafe eating breakfast, and this guy was like, the guy who was serving me was like, I didn't want to say anything, but I really, really love your movies, and I'm like,
well, thank you.
I'm like, Okay, I don't have any movies. Like, of course you don't. And that's kind of how this guy was over at Rinaldi's when I was like, I'm not Jordan Peele. He was like, yes, you are. Yeah,
of course you are.
And then the other guy was like, no, he's not.
Safe with me.
He's not because of this connection. Anyway, but yeah, I am enjoying the beard. It hasn't bothered me. I am curious on what's going to happen when it gets warmer, whether or not I'm going to keep it or I'm going to cut it off. But I have settled into my unk phase. I am
here.
Yeah,
do it, man.
I am here, well, and I am good with it.
You've been very avuncular to my experience. I mean, you were when Ruben was the bat boy for the softball championship game a couple seasons ago, you were out there tossing the ball to him.
I like to teach. I sent a nice text message to Addie Zawoski yesterday because she made JV at HF. So I'm very excited that she will be wearing the red and white of Homewood Flossmoor High School as she is striking people out this year.
That's really cool.
It's very exciting. And Jay and Hope have put so much work into helping her be great at pitching. It's outstanding.
I enjoyed both minutes that we talked hockey with Jay Zawoski yesterday.
All two of them? Speaking of twos, yes. is there something there that we missed? Because didn't
back in the early twos?
Is that a thing? Is that how we talk about it? I thought we talked aughts.
I liked aughts. When the aughts happened, I was a guy fighting for aughts. Because, like, we go 1906, back right. In aught-six.
So the early aughts and then the 2010s.
The 10s.
Right?
Yeah, he's saying the early twos. And this entire, he's going with the whole century, the millennium. He's going for 1,000 years because these we're in the very early twos still.
Shane, you're the young hip guy on the show.
Yes, yeah, very man. Much so. Yep, I am.
Where do you
That's
stand?
What they tell me.
Where do you stand on the early twos?
I'm pro early twos. I think we can call it that. But I do have like vivid memories of Y2K and my dad like being very worried that entire business was going to
the things that we were afraid down. Of. Yeah. It's some of the stupidest moments of humanity up until every day now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But back then it was like, really? We're scared of this? There were people afraid that like the toilets were going to stop working. The plumbing was going to stop working.
Yep.
Nothing happened.
Mm-mm. No.
Something happened. No, it didn't. Nothing at all happened.
No.
God.
Yeah, Tanny, but yes, I am the young hip one. Thank you so much.
The early twos, where are we on?
Yeah, I don't love that, but we knew what he was talking about, right?
Yeah,
We all spoke. Frank, was that his name? What was his name?
Whenever someone says aughts, I think of old baseball videos, and here's this guy.
Yeah, you don't.
Honest Wagner, back in aught-seven.
You do start thinking about old baseball, and then it kind of gets into Gatsby stuff, and then it kind of gets a little gross because of some of the things that were
back
going
in the
on.
Golden age of baseball.
Let's make baseball
before,
great again.
You know.
Before there
when
were,
it was pure.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a throwback to a simpler time.
A much simpler time where and we got to get back to that time.
It was a quieter game.
It's not as fast, though. And not as fast.
Not That's, as faster. Or talented. Or
can you believe they think that Babe Ruth hit a ball like 550 feet?
Well, I mean, no, he was black.
Mickey Mantle
he was the
hit
only one.
He was Italian, Mike Tirico.
Mickey Mantle hit one 565, baby. That's still the rule. Is still the standard.
I saw Joe Borchardt hit one that far, so I believe it.
Yeah, 500 feet.
Yeah. Onto the concourse.
Josh Fields hit one that far, I think. Grand Slam in the Mark Brayley game.
All right, we're good now.
And that concludes this trip down White Sox Lane.
As long as we're talking baseball for a second, this
we're
Sunday.
We're not going to worry about it.
We weren't.
This we are. This, coming up this Sunday morning, I will be doing a talk and hanging out before Bull Durham at the Music Box Theater on the big screen. You want to come and hang out and watch Bull Durham with me? Do it. And the Music Box Theater is holding Play Ball, a baseball series, all month long. And later on, we are going to give you a pair of tickets to go see either Bull Durham with me on Sunday, or A League of Their Own, or Eight Men Out, or Bingo Long and his Traveling All-Stars. You could see any of these. You will choose. The winner gets an opportunity for one screening of a matinee of their choice. Just be the sixth caller when you hear Chris Tannehill play this.
It just got too hard.
It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
That might be my favorite baseball movie.
And what number are they supposed to call, Speaks?
I have no idea.
312-540-0670.
Yeah, I need help remembering that number. So thank you for being here, Lawrence.
And thank you for being a friend. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the wide receivers that are now suddenly available. There's one I want for sure. There might be another one that other people are thinking of for the Bears. That's next here on The Score.
Here comes Tyler Lockett. He's slotted on the left side. Charbonnet is wide to the left, almost to the sideline. It'd be a great place to just throw a little pass to Tyler. And Tyler, oh, he one-hands it. Holy catfish. Tyler Lockett, you make me look like a prophet, buddy. Just a little crossing route. The ball was too far out in front. And yet he reaches out with one hand and makes the catch. A 9-yard gain. Holy smokes. That does it as the Broncos now use their last timeout. A minute 40 left. The Seahawks can kneel this one down. Leave it to your veteran player to make the play you need. Tyler Lockett. Boy, do we love you, buddy. And everybody on the sidelines there to greet.
Highlight courtesy of Seahawks Radio, Tyler Lockett with another great performance. He is an older gentleman for a wide receiver.
32 years old.
32 years old for him. And he is now no longer a member of the Seahawks. I would love for him to be a member of the Bears.
He's a wonderful football player. Mm-hmm. He really is. Like, he plays outside. He plays inside. Sometimes you think those little wide receivers, like, oh, man, that's a slot guy. No, no, no. Last year, less than 40% in the slot. He has terrific hands. He's tough. He has battled some injury bugs over the past couple years.
And his production has gone down over the last four seasons.
But they also drafted Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They've tried to make sure they get DK Metcalf the ball. And, you know, it can be tough to get targets out there among all three. But you watch a Seahawks game and you still see Tyler Lockett produce. And he knows how to do everything on the football field.
He
man.
Sure does. Like, that's, I guess we were discussing it, like, which one of the Seahawks guys do you want? Because DK Metcalf is also unhappy and is asking for a trade. Lockett is older. He's not as physically as imposing as DK Metcalf. DK's had a couple of really good years back to back as well, but Lockett is only going to cost you cash. You know, you don't have to trade away another draft asset to get him.
Somebody's going to make a deal for DK Metcalf akin to what the Eagles did for AJ Brown several years ago. And I'm not saying DK Metcalf is as good as AJ Brown, but this is a big body, true, dream a little dream kind of number one wide receiver. Somebody's going to give up a bunch to get DK Metcalf and think of him as like the final piece. Maybe it's the Chargers who make a lot of sense for DK Metcalf. You know, it's like some team that thinks they're close but needs that one badass wide receiver to put their young quarterback over the top. The Bears have DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, and as we detailed yesterday in Ben's Vision, I don't think going out to get a guy like DK Metcalf with more assets and spending a big pile of money fits what they're going to want to do. It's not like Ben plays three wide receivers that often anyway, historically.
Could I interest you in Christian Kirk?
Christian Kirk is 28 years old. He's more of a true slot guy. He's an 80% in the slot guy last year for Jacksonville.
I think we have decided that we would like for the positions to be as fluid as possible.
I think that's what Ben's going to want. And it's going to be a lower end type of name. Like, you look at free agent wide receivers, and you're like, oh man, look at that pass catcher there. Look at that guy. Oh, that guy could catch a lot of passes. Stephon Diggs and you know, stuff like that. I think it's going to be somebody. Look, Tim Patrick, who was a starter in Denver for a few years and then came on in Detroit at the end of last year after being signed after an injury. So he wasn't even active until like midway through last year. But by the end of the season, he was their number three wide receiver, a great blocker, 31 years old, comes in and knows Antoine Randall-El, knows Ben Johnson, very willing and happy number three wide receiver. I'm totally cool with that kind of addition.
As soon as I saw that Lockett was available, I was like, mm-hmm. I texted you.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, yeah, that's who I want.
No, and
that
and
guy
I'm with you.
Right
I,
there.
I'd Lockett would be really cool, and he's probably not going to cost that much at 32 at this point in your life cycle, and then you can focus on tight end in the draft. You can focus on offensive line and edge rusher in the draft, defensive line, and we'll see, man. It's an exciting time to be putting all the roster pieces together, especially now that two guards are already here. It's exciting.
I'm looking out the window, and I think the weather has changed. Speaks. I think we've got that in-between stuff now.
Wintry mix.
Is that?
It's gross, dude. Like, I brag about having like a 20-minute walk home, but I'm pissed about my 20-minute walk home today.
I enjoyed your walk home. It was very reflective yesterday. I thought it was very good. You were out here in the streets of Chicago.
I got a little emotional.
That's all right. It's
sometimes
allowed.
I get emotional and post on Twitter.
You know what?
A lot less now than I used to. But
sometimes this kind of weather can make you a little emotional.
That.
Yeah. Like a friend of mine once called it when it was like he was walking around like this. I'm like, you okay? You want to? He's like, I like to walk. It's kind of Hemingway-esque out there.
Yeah. Well, this stuff right now, though, is it grapple? Is that what this is now? Sleet?
What's grapple?
Isn't that a thing?
That's it's a wrestling style, isn't it?
That's grapple.
Grapple is that stuff that they make. It's not quite corned beef hash. It's not sausage, but it's a breakfast.
That's scrapple.
Ah.
Scrapple. Okay. Yeah. This is blowing in a lot of different directions, and normally I like that, but I
Tanny, who was
don't...
that pitcher for the A's? Todd Van Grapple. I was close. I thought that was grapple.
According to internet.com and djbooth.net, shout out to Ray, grapple forms when supercooled water droplets freeze onto snowflakes.
Well, you know what they say, grapple a day.
And
I make myself laugh.
I now think now I think he's just delirious. Now that we can add that to all of his symptoms that he has.
I have shingles. I have one day's worth of shingles.
Finally. We've been trying to give you shingles for the longest time.
For the longest time.
Yeah. And RFK's here now. We're like, all right, Tanny, it's our chance. There's no vaccine anymore.
I took the vaccine today.
You took two vaccines
today. I did. I was not told that it might have an effect on me, but I'm pretty sure it is having an
effect. How's your voice sound? You got
his
a brain
voice,
worm?
His voice sounds great.
How's Billy Joel doing? You made the Billy Joel. Did you see that video? He took a little tumble on stage.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, did he fall like into the band pit?
Because of shingles?
Oh, that's too bad. So Billy Joel has shingles? Is that what we've established?
Longest time he has.
We are not reporting that.
Some guy on a construction site. Yeah, listen to the score. Something about Billy Joel and shingles. I don't know what they're talking about.
We're just out here confusing construction workers.
Outstanding
Since
text 1992. From the 630.
What's that?
Grapple is a newer kind of technique.
Yeah, it's a newer kind of thing.
All right, we got to go because we got to talk with Ross Tucker about the moves that the Bears have made on their offensive line. It's next here on The Score.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.